Now, how many people today, when you walked in, stopped before you sat down and looked at your chair and made sure all four legs were attached properly? How many people checked all the bolts to make sure they were tight and tight? I didn't have anybody step in today and ask for a weight limit before they sat down. Everybody sat down in their chair having faith that that chair would support us and hold us. Someone said, Pastor, is that a fat joke? No, I'm just telling you. We all use faith today, right? We all use faith and we didn't even think about it. Well, Pastor, I don't use faith. Listen, without faith, you're in trouble. And I just tell you, we use faith every single day we live. We trust pilots we've never met. We drive across bridges we never built. We deposit money into banks we don't own. We have faith every day. We're using faith every day in our life. The question is this, look at this. The question is not, do we have faith? The question is, where will we place our faith? That becomes the bigger question for all believers today. Where will you put your faith in? I had an atheist one time that told me, he said, man, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in faith. And I said, dude, man, I have never met somebody with so much faith. He gave me this strange, snarty look like, what are you saying? I just told you I'm not a man of faith. I don't believe in faith. I go, no, it takes a lot of faith to believe all of this just happened by two molecules colliding in space. That takes a lot of faith. I just happen to believe and put my faith in God. That makes a lot more sense to me. You believe what you want, but all of us are putting faith in something. Where are you putting your faith? And can I tell you, even as Christians, many times we miss the mark on what we put our faith in, right? And so today we're going to challenge ourselves to really test ourselves and see, are we really putting our faith where it needs to be? Let's go through Hebrews 11:6 as an opening text. And without, come on, one more time, let's say it out loud. And without faith, it is impossible. That's a hard word right there. Impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. How many people want to please God, right? I mean, if you are a true follower of Jesus today, you would say, yes, that would be our heart's desire, is I want to please my King. I want to please the Heavenly Father. I want to please God. I mean, that should be all of our desire, and I believe it really is. But the Bible says if we're not using faith, there's no hope in pleasing God. So this should become something of very importance that we understand how important this new series called Bold Faith, we're calling it Bold Faith, is in our life. Let's go to James 2:17-20. Thus also faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. He goes, listen, dude, you believe that there's one God? You do well. Golf clap. Come on, everybody, golf clap. Golf clap. You believe in God? Golf clap. Good deal. Even the demons believe in God. The demons have faith. They just don't have any works. They don't have any works of God. They believe that God is God of the universe. He goes, if you believe, congratulations, golf clap. You just joined the demons. Good job. He goes, but do you want to know, oh foolish man? Faith without the works, it's dead. It's dead. Can I tell you a secret today? Can I get you to pull in with me today? Listen very closely. What I'm about to tell you, as I look out today, I see dead people. Faith without works is dead. We have too many dead people filling churches across America today. I guess this was for the church down the street. I should have called my buddy and said, can I come and preach for you today, right? Too many people say they have faith, but they have no works to back up their faith. Therefore, it's dead. Can I just tell you, it's time for the church to come alive today. It's time for the church of Jesus Christ to rise up with a bold faith. I didn't say an annoying faith. I said a bold faith and live out a bold faith for Jesus. Don't let the world silence your faith. Don't let social media silence your faith. Don't let other people's opinion silence your faith. We are called to live out a bold faith for God. Can I tell you that faith becomes one of the most important part of our Christian foundation? So that means we must get it right. If we're going to build our foundation right, our spiritual journey is based on this foundation. It's built on faith. We see it laid out through the whole New Testament. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith without the works is dead. And we see this whole theme throughout the New Testament. Look at this statement. Without faith, salvation cannot happen. Prayers cannot be heard. And God cannot be pleased. But you think all three of those things are pretty important things in our life. So we must get this faith right. We got to learn to get faith right in our life. If you had a good friend, a best friend, or a very close family member that you consider a family member that's close to, and they give you great advice for your life, let me help you. I see you're struggling in different areas of your life. Let me give you some great advice that I've learned, tried true wisdom, and they give you great advice on how to manage your finances. They give you great advice on how to manage your health. They give you great advice on how to improve your family, how to navigate your marriage, how to work on your job, how to raise your children. I mean, all this great advice. And then you never listen or apply one thing they've given you, even though they're a close friend. What would you think? That would be really rude, wouldn't it? I mean, it'd be rude if someone opened up their life who was, I was close to and imparted all this wisdom and I never listened to any of it. I wonder how many of us do this to God and we don't even realize it. How many of us ignore the things that God's wanting us to use and grow in faith in our life and we don't ever use it? We don't even realize we're doing this to God. It's kind of like the guy, maybe if you've been here a long time, you've heard me talk about the guy who used to come to my gym I used to go to several years ago. He doesn't go to church here, so don't worry about it. It's nobody I'm going to offend today. But while I was working out, he would show up next to me and begin to talk about his problems he was going through in his life and his marriage and things that were happening. And, you know, he was wanting me to give him advice. And even though he didn't go to church here, I just felt led to help him. So I'm giving him great advice as we're working out. He's following me around the gym. Every time I walked in, he would follow me, or he would work out himself. He just followed me around, asking me questions, telling me about his life. And I would just pour out as I'm working out, giving him all this great life advice. Then one day I asked him, I said, dude, have you even applied one thing I've given you? Not yet. I put my earbuds in and said, well, when you can do that, let me know and I'll tell you some more, okay? Why? Because he loved being the victim, but he didn't want to grow in the wisdom that I could have helped him growing in that God had given me, and I've helped through so many people that I've been able to give this guy. He wasn't even taking one thing to heart. And we do this to God oftentimes, not even knowing. Foolishly, we disrespect what God's wanting us to do. You know, we had a powerful time of worship today, as we do almost every Sunday here at Destiny. But can I tell you and challenge you today, the most powerful times of worship is when you learn to live out a bold faith day by day when you don't have the band behind you, when you don't have the worship team singing your favorite song, and you got to live out bold faith then. Oh yeah, that becomes the most powerful times of worship is when you worship God in the middle of the hardest time of your life. When you worship God through your tears. When you worship God through the good and the bad. That's true worship. Why? Because, listen, because faith honors God. God honors faith. Faith honors God. God, I believe that you are who you said you are. God, I believe your word is what it says about my life. I believe and I honor you today because your ways are higher than my ways. And God, I'm going to believe in you and what you've taught me. And when faith honors God, God honors faith. Because faith is such an important part of our Christian walk, church, we cannot afford to be elementary in our understanding of faith. Every believer needs to grow in your understanding of faith alive in your life. So what I'm going to ask you to do during this series, can I ask you to join me and just maybe just kind of clean the slate a little bit in your life? I'm not telling you don't have some good theology. I'm sure a lot of people have some great knowledge about faith. But what I'm going to ask you to do is kind of let go of some preconceived things you know about faith. And I want you to pray this prayer. God, give me a fresh vision of biblical faith. Give me a fresh vision of faith in my life. I need something faith. I need a faith that's new and fresh in my life. And I want to have a clear biblical understanding of what faith really is. See, I'm talking about a clear biblical definition, not a faith that says name it and claim it. Not a faith that says blab it and grab it. Oh, I guess you guys never went to my church when I was growing up. Okay. A lot of people put faith in a certain category we call hyper faith. And everything's about, I get everything I name. I get everything I believe. And somewhere they've learned this. We call that hyper faith. Can I tell you, there's nothing wrong with confessing the good things of God for your life. But can I just tell you, faith is much deeper than that. Faith is much deeper than a positive confession. Faith is a lifestyle. What are you saying? I don't care what you say out of your mouth. What's your life say? That's stronger. What's your life worship about? Faith is a lifestyle, how we live our life. Shocker, time out. I don't always get everything I ask for. I know God answers all of your prayers. Exactly how you ask. I don't get everything we name and claim. Some things, I got to understand this, and the mature get it. Some things are not for me, so God won't bring to me what's not mine. As much as I can believe God for it and say I want it and need it, if it's not in God's plan for my life, whether it's now or later or whenever, if it's not for me, it's not coming to me. Faith says, God, I believe that. Faith is not trying to hold God hostage. God, if you love me, then prove it by answering my prayer. Can I tell you something today? God has nothing to prove to you and I. He proved it all on the cross. He proved it all. Listen, he proved it all when he came walking out of the grave on the third day. He proved he was who he said he was. He had power on heaven and earth. He had power over death, hell, and the grave. He don't have anything left to prove. And so I don't say, God, prove yourself. I'm never allowed. The Bible says we don't say to God, prove yourself. We don't tell God, if you're real, do this. We are not allowed to do that. Except for one thing. What was that? You hear me talking about it a lot. In our giving, he says, put me to the test. Test me and see. So he says, you can say, God, I'm going to give. I'm giving because your word says, if I give it, you'll give it back to me, blessed, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I believe that. God says, I double dog dare you, put me to the test. But every other area in our life, we are not to test God. So faith is not putting God to the test. Faith is believing God when you don't get the answer you're looking for. Only immature people would say, God, if you love me, do this for me. See, look at this. The purpose of faith is not to accomplish the will of man, but the will of God. That's what faith is for. Faith is for the will of God to be revealed in my life. Immature faith wants what I want. Mature faith was where I'm hoping we all grow to. Mature faith, I want what God wants for my life. And if he don't want it for my life, then that must not be for me. It's okay. I trust the Lord. Can I tell you today, it's okay. I'm going to tell you right now. If no one's ever told you, it's okay to be upset when God doesn't answer your prayer the way you thought he should. I give you permission. You can cry. You can be mad. You can be upset. I give you permission to have your pity party. But then I want you to dry it up. And faith says, God, I wanted that, but even though you didn't open that door, I'm going to praise you until you open the next door you have for my life. And the next door must be better, so you're teaching me to worship you now in the hallway when I don't even see the light. You're teaching me now when I walk through the shadow of death to trust you even on the hard times. Anybody can trust you on the mountain. Can you trust them when the thing is bad? Can you trust them when you don't get the answer you wanted? Can you trust him when he doesn't give you what you really wanted? That is a true mark of faith. And without it, it's impossible to please God. Would you want children who only loved you because you gave them things? Or would you want to give them things because they truly love you no matter what? This is our relationship. The Father doesn't want to buy our love. He wants our love because he first loved us, because he gave his only son for us, that he died in our place, took our sins to the cross, and redeemed us back to himself. That's why he wants our love, not because of what he does, not because of the blessing he gives me, not because he gave me this or, no. Those are side benefits of my relationship with Abba Father. And sometimes I get things I didn't deserve. And sometimes I get things I didn't see. And other times I don't get what I want, just like my kids. Right? It's called tough love. Sometimes God gives us tough love. If God gave us everything we wanted, he'd be like, you'd be a mess. You'd have so much pride. You'd never come to me. You wouldn't depend on me for anything. You'd never go to church. Oh, I guess I shouldn't have went there. Okay. See, the immature give up on God when he doesn't answer their prayers the way they want it. Now, there's nothing wrong with being upset. I get that. Nothing wrong with being disappointed. I get that. But the immature say, all right, now I'm going to give up on God because he didn't do what I asked him. He's not real. He doesn't love me. Look at this. See, the mature says, God, you must have a different plan. I will trust your plan. See, faith, look at this. Faith won't bring me what I shouldn't have. But the lack of faith will cause me to miss what I should have. Wow. I will learn to trust you, God, no matter what. How many times have you scrolled through social media and you seen that person that you prayed to God you couldn't live without 10 years ago, 15 years ago? And you're like, God, thank you for letting me avoid that train wreck. 15 years ago, you're like, oh God, I can't live without that man. He's the one, God. He completes me. I can see our children together. Oh, God, we're destined to be together. And you look back and go, man, I'm glad God caused me to miss that train wreck. How many times have you thought you had to have that job? You wanted that promotion. You wanted that job and you didn't get it. But eventually, years later, you got a better job and you're more happy now than if you'd have had that old job. You're like, God, thank you. Thank you, God. It was tough believing. It was tough having faith. But now I'm thankful that I trusted God. Faith won't bring me what I shouldn't have, but the lack of faith will cause me to miss what I should. So faith doesn't bring to me anything that's not assigned to me. Faith won't bring me anything. Faith brings to me what God has assigned to me. But a lack of faith can cause me to miss out on the things that are assigned to me. See, it doesn't bring what's not mine, but faith does unlock what is mine. Remember, faith takes action. Look at Matthew 13, 57 and 58. Remember when Jesus was raised in his hometown? He went back after he called his disciples. He's going around doing miracle after miracle, great teachings, the crowds are following. And Jesus goes back for a hometown stop on his tour. And it says here, and they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their what? Unbelief. See, they were like, all right, who is this? We remember this snotty-nosed kid who was tagging along helping his dad build our kitchen cabinets. He was playing with our kids down the street. He was hitting the ball down here and hitting a home run after home run after home run. When he swam, he just ran across the top of the water. He won every event. We remember that kid. They were too familiar with him. They were so close as he was growing up that when he came back as the Messiah and God revealed who he was, his time of public ministry, they could not accept him as that Jesus, because they were too familiar with them. And because of their unbelief, the Bible says, he what? He did not do. It didn't say he could not do. He chose not to do just a couple of minor things. Probably healed a couple of headaches and a common cold. And said, I'll see you later, alligator. Bye-bye. Everywhere else, he's raising the dead, open the blind eyes, open deaf ears. I mean, he's doing miracle after miracle, major miracles. There, he chose not to because of their lack of faith, their lack of belief. See, God chooses not to work where there is unbelief. So when I believe, it unlocks the door for God to do what he's wanting to do. Kind of like the woman who had the issue of blood. Year after year, year after year, she's bleeding, bleeding, bleeding. Can't stop the bleeding. Having major, major, major problems internally. Bleeding, bleeding, bleeding. Jesus shows up, the crowd's so around him, as you can imagine. I see he's in the middle back there, but I can't reach him. So she said, if I can just kind of crawl, I can crawl in between the legs of the people. And if I can just get a hold of the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. And the Bible says she pushed through her issue. She pushed through her pain. She pushed through her disappointment. She pushed through her sorrow. She pushed through the rejection. She wasn't afraid to get on her hands and knees and crawl to the Lord. She pushed through her pride, and she reached out by faith, and she touched God. And the Bible says that when she touched even just his clothes, Jesus said, wait, who touched me? He felt it right away. He knew faith had touched him. He knew faith reached out for her healing. He knew faith. Faith will unlock the blessing God wants to give me. Let's use John 3:16 as an example today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son to whoever what? Believes. This is the very start of our salvation. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Let me ask you this question. Did Jesus die for all the sins of the world? Yes, the Bible says he died for all the sins of the world, past, present, and future. Let me ask you this question, given that knowledge. Is everybody going to heaven? No, why? Because the Bible says we must first believe. We must first believe that he died on the cross. We must first believe that he was the Messiah, God's only son. We must first believe. Then we unlock the door of salvation and redemption in our life. Faith unlocks the door of salvation. Most people start off. This is how we start off our life. Our spiritual walk starts with faith. I believe that Jesus can forgive me. I believe Jesus is who he said he was. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And so by faith, we receive our salvation. But the sad thing is we never use faith again. Tell me how that makes sense. We enter into a relationship with God by faith, and the sad part is many people never use faith again in their life. That's just the start. That's just the start of using faith that God wants us to understand in our life. What if I told you I went down to the bank down the street from where you lived and said, you know what, I just want to bless you. So I went down and I personally made a very large deposit in your name in that bank. Opened up a new account. I made a large deposit. You didn't do anything to deserve it. I just want to bless you. All you got to do is go down, sign the paperwork, and you can start withdrawing that money out of that account and use it as you need it. And you said, you know what? Pastor Gene's good. But he ain't that good. And so you never went to the bank and signed the paperwork to unlock that savings account to be used in your life because you didn't believe I actually made the deposit. So that money would sit there, that deposit would sit there, that account would sit there year after year after year, not being used. Because you didn't have faith enough to go down and sign the paperwork. See, that's the same thing for God in their life. God has made spiritual deposits into our account, and he's wanting us to withdraw them by faith. God, I believe who you said you are. God, I believe that if I give you my first fruit, the first 10%, you will bless me more. God, I believe if I serve, that God, you will grow me and my family. God, I believe if I'll fast and pray, that God, I will grow in my relationship. God, I believe if I'll put the word in every day, that my mind will be covered and my life will grow. God, I believe. And we start exercising works in our life. Faith without works is dead. Can I tell you, faith will produce optimism. But optimism by itself is dead. I'm not talking about just self-help today. I'm talking about there's nothing wrong with great positive thinking. The Bible talks about that. As a man thinketh, so he is. As we confess, that's all a big part of Christian walk. But faith is so much deeper. In itself, faith without works is dead. I believe God's going to bless my finances. Woo! By faith, I believe it. Pressed down, shaking together, running over. It's coming back to me. And when God blesses me, then I'm going to be a blessing and give more. That's not the way it works. Faith without works is dead. So I learned to give first, and then the blessing follows. What are you saying? If I can't trust God in the small, I'm not going to trust him in the big. Okay, how about this one? How about I'm believing God for a better job? Man, I know God's got the perfect job for me. God's got the job I want. He knows exactly what kind of money I need to make. He knows exactly what kind of job in the field I want to be in. And I'm believing by faith, I'm going to receive that new job this year. Hallelujah. How many know we're not going to get that job? No matter how much we name and claim it, just sitting around watching Netflix and playing video games. I'm going to have to get out and apply myself. I'm going to get out and learn some education and get trained. I'm going to get out and apply online. And then if they don't follow back, I go up and I knock on some manager's doors and some business doors and say, can I come? I love to work for your business. How can I be a part? I'll do everything I can. And then I say, God, the rest is up to you. Faith without works is dead. What are you saying? I do everything like it's up to me, believing that God's got the rest, right? I do everything as I can, and I believe that God will work out the rest. Faith without works is dead. Can I tell you, every level of faith will require you to encourage yourself in the Lord. Every new level of faith in every believer, it will require you to encourage yourself in the Lord. What are you saying, Pastor? That means when I'm stepping up my faith, I can't wait for my spouse to be my encourager. I can't wait for my prayer partner to be my encourager. I can't wait until the blessing is right there. I got to learn to take a level of faith that says, even when my heart is broken, oh, I will praise you even that much more. Even when the enemy's trying to steal my song, I'm going to sing to you even more. Even when I've made the greatest mistakes in my life, God, I'm not going to give up on you. God, I know you got big things, and God, I'm staying after you. Even when I go through the hardest things in my life, I stay faithful. That requires next level faith. That's what's required. See, as we close today, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith, let's say it again, now faith is, one more time, now faith is present tense for those who forgot. This is not past tense. This is present tense. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. We all have them. And the conviction of things I can't see yet. That's where faith has grown. That's where faith has grown. What are you saying? Everybody, anybody, everybody can have faith on the mountaintop. Can you have faith during a valley? Can you have faith when you don't see it yet? Or by your spirit, you say, God, I'm trusting you. You got a better person. God, I'm trusting you. You got the better job. God, I'm trusting you. You got a better plan than my plan. God, I'm trusting you. You got something I don't even know about in the works. So God, I'm trusting you. Faith is present tense, and that requires bold faith. It's bold faith to believe God when you don't see the answer. That's bold faith. It's not naming and claiming. No, I'm believing and trusting God even when I don't get the things I'm hoping for. I know that God has never left me. I know I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the needy begging for bread. God has got something for me. I'm holding on. That's bold faith. Why do you worship when you just lost someone close to you? Scott family, why do you look back here and you guys are all worshiping today? You bless my heart. Just lost your mom this past week, unexpectedly. All the whole family's back there worshiping. Why? Because there's something about praising God in the middle of your storm. You don't know it until you've been in the storm and you praise. And that's where it's at. That's where my faith is at. Anybody can praise him when things are going well. Can you praise him in your hardest hour? Can you praise him when your heart's broken? Can you praise him when you're disappointed? Can you praise him when you didn't get the promotion? Can you praise him when you didn't get accepted into the school you wanted? Can you praise him when things didn't go the way you planned? Bold faith says yes. Mature faith says yes. God, teach us to have bold faith. God, I pray that during this series that you begin to stretch us, help us rethink how we live out our faith. Today, as we talk about this statement of faith, I'm sure there's many people, like there were in the first service, who said, Pastor, I need to give my life to Jesus. That's where faith starts. To have this bold faith I'm talking about, it all starts with the faith of believing that Jesus was the Son of God, that he died on the cross for my sins and your sins and all the sins of the world. On the third day, he was resurrected, now alive, seen by over 500 eyewitnesses, saw the risen Jesus. I heard him say he would return back for us. The Bible says we put our faith in Jesus, that we can now enter into a new faith, a new relationship with him, a new believer. That's where it starts, right there. I've got to change some things. No, you can't change. It's faith. Faith, I believe.